and untrue allegations.
Yep.
And you were completely cleared, of course, when you made a mistake.
With
your shopping. But did it hurt? Did it hurt that the allegations were out there?
Yeah, I mean, now it's absolutely fine, and I devoted a sort of massive chapter to it in our autobiography 10 years ago. But at the time, it was humiliating. It was really awful. I mean, anyone who's been accused of shoplifting and hasn't intended to do that, you know, has genuinely made a mistake at the checkout, will know what it feels like. I mean, it's awful to be told that you're a thief, you know. And it was very stressful because although, you know, people call it a trivial allegation, although believe me, it's not if it's aimed at you, it could have destroyed my career. And I'd left school at 16. I'd worked like a dog to rise to the top in our local newspaper group. And then I'd joined local radio and worked all the hours God sent. And then I got into telly and I'd really worked hard. And the thought that all of that could disappear with a guilty verdict was horrific.
And
you know?
They just tapped you in the shoulder.
It was classic. It was the kind of thing which I think happens to most people at some point, whether or not it goes through into a formal charge. Yeah, I was at the checkout. I had a trolley full of shopping, and the section at the front, the separate section at the front, had all the booze in, because if you put it in the main trolley, it crushes everything. So I took everything out and paid for it, except the stuff in the front. Just wasn't focusing on it at all, and then paid the bill and walked out. And then yes, tap on the shoulder. We've reasoned. Think you've left without paying? No, I haven't. Here's the bill. What about that? And I looked at the stuff in the front and thought, well, which is where it always was after I'd paid for it, and thought, what's the, I don't get it. And I looked at the bill again and I realised what had happened and said, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I'll go back. But I think it was a bit of a tall poppy syndrome, you know. We'd been on this morning for a couple of years and everybody got very excited, to be honest with you, both, you know, the staff there. And I understand that, yeah. and the police. And what happened to me was I was offered a caution, exactly like Anthony Worrell Thompson the other day. But unlike him, I told him to stick it, because if you accept a caution, then you're saying, yeah, I intended to do this, and I absolutely didn't. So, yeah, refused the caution, opted for a Crown Court trial, you know, took it very seriously, and yes, as you say, I was acquitted and got my costs and everything and moved on. But it was very stressful and you know, not something I'd want to go through again.
Yeah. Were you frightened in court?
No, it's slightly bemusing. As I wrote in the book, you get the... you get the kind of the charge sheet in front of you when you're actually in the dock, you know, and it says Regina versus whoever you are. And I thought, well, I actually quite like the Queen. I don't feel I'm in a battle of wits or wills with her. It was surreal, and probably less stressful the actual court experience for me than perhaps for other people, because I'd been a court reporter. I'd spent many hours on local papers and radio and television covering Crown Court cases and magistrates' hearings and all the rest of it. So the process didn't put me off at all. I was quite confident that it would be all right. You know, I mean, there were some dark nights of the soul when I thought, oh God, what if I get a stupid jury or sort of bonkers judge or something? I'll have to appeal and it'll all go on and on. Most of the time, I knew it was going to be okay, and it was.
And you sound like a confident character, Richard. Of course you are, given what you do. But what was it like getting up in the morning and seeing that in the papers?
Well, it only was in the papers because of you know, contemporaneous reporting. You can't keep going on about someone's who's actually fighting a case. You have to just report the events as they unfold. It was always funny. I mean, for example, this morning in Granada were terribly... I mean, everyone knew me well at Granada. We'd all sort of been working together as researchers and reporters and now more elevated positions. And they were very supportive and said, look, we know this is crap and it'll be fine and everything as normal. So, for example, because I opted to go to a Crown Court, I had to occasionally to go to Magistrates Court to have a remand hearing, which is this procedure. And they were very nice, and they used to put me on straight away at 10 o'clock on a Monday morning. Meanwhile, Judy was opening the show over in Liverpool, and I'd get in the car, and I'd drive from Manchester to Liverpool, hearing on the news on the way a report about my appearance, you know, and I'd get to the studios, and I'd barrel in, and Judy'd be in the kitchen or interviewing somebody, and I'd just walk straight on the set by sort of arrangement with the producers to sit down, and she'd say, oh, he's here, how did it go? And I turned to the cameras and say, well, remanded again, obviously no bail, for another couple of months. Looks like we'll get the hearing in June. Anyway, how's the show going? And it was, looking back on it, it was surreal television. I mean, it was extraordinary stuff.
Isn't it interesting how you're able, because you were acquitted and you didn't mean to do it, contrast how you were able to publicly handle that to what Anthony Worrell Thompson's having today?
Well, I don't want to talk about Anthony in detail. I mean, obviously, I make reference to it there because it's quite topical, because I don't know what was going through the poor guy's mind. I can only briefly assume that...
He said he was stressed out of his brain, Richard.
Well, I don't think that a 60-year-old in his position is suddenly going to turn into a life of crime, do you? I mean, it just seems improbable. It seems to me that, yeah, he was under some kind of pressure, and he said that himself. As to how that actually made that happen, I don't know. I you know, it's not my field. But I certainly feel sorry for him.
We've talked a lot.